Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are back listening to Flop Culture, a podcast where we talk about our favourite flops. My name is Fionnuala Jones. Thank you for joining me for this episode, the final episode of season two. Can you believe it? It has come around fast. But before we get into our final flop of season two, let's take a quick gander at the news. So we spoke last week about This Morning. Like everyone, the two presenters, Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby, seem to be in some kind of a standoff, and we questioned who was going to leave, who was going to go, who was going to stay. And it's Philip Schofield. He has left the building. He came out with this statement first, essentially saying he'd left because, I'm obviously paraphrasing here, but said he loved the show and because of how it platforms important stories. But now the show was becoming the story, and that's why he made the decision to leave. But said he would be at the Soap Awards, which he hosts. Pretty sure that's later this month. No mention of Holly Willoughby, who he has worked with for the last 14 years. She then released her own statement. She being Holly Willoughby, the cat's mother, says you. Holly Willoughby released her own statement on Instagram. She thanked him, kind of made no reference to anything that got on, but like thanked him for his knowledge, said the couch wouldn't be the same without him. She's currently on a break and will be back in June. And you kind of have your This Morning regulars filling in over the next little while. It was Alison Hammond and Dermot O'Leary were on the opening episode on Monday, and they made reference to it. There was like a 30-second tribute to Philip, and it all was a bit awkward. And I think even The Guardian gave the comeback show after the news, I think they gave it 1 star, which kind of says it all. Kind of made it out like he'd died, and he has obviously hasn't. But ITV have had to come out and make another statement because Eamon Holmes, another previous This Morning host, he's a new show on GB News, and he's been like very vocal in a way about Holly and Philip and this drama. And he's talked about how the show's an institution and it will go on without them, that it's not actually about them, despite what they're making it out to be. And he's kind of said, he made reference to the fact that he didn't like leave, he was sacked, right? And also went on to say, Holly knows the truth, the story is with her. So then ITV had to come out and make a new statement to The Mirror, in which they said Philip Schofield's decision to step down from This Morning was, as his statement made clear, a decision agreed between Philip and ITV. He is still on as host for Dancing on Ice, but ITV have said that there are further announcements due to be made about that. Dancing on Ice isn't due on ITV until January 2024, and the series is not currently in production. But again, you would imagine someone leaves there, maybe. We'll see. Maybe Holly will leave there, because there's a part of me that feels like Holly has more of an affinity with This Morning, and it was more important for her to keep that, Whereas Dancing on Ice, I wonder if she could let that drop, because I'm wondering if ITV are going to want to keep Philip Sweet. As I said in the last episode, I think this is a developing story and there's more to come out about this, I would imagine. And this very much isn't the last we'll hear about either of them or this saga, for sure, for sure. Anyway, speaking of sagas, what would you do if you woke up... I said that word. What would you do if you woke up one morning, you looked out your window and you saw sharks raining from the sky? And they weren't just any kind of sharks. They were vengeful. And they would stop at nothing to destroy you and your family. So you decided to dedicate your life to hunting down these sharks and keeping the world safe. That is the entire conceit of Sharknado, a film franchise so ridiculous, so quintessentially floppy, it's also kind of hard not to love. Joining me to discuss Sharknado further is the founder of Black and Irish, Leanne Jopp. Leanne Jopp, I haven't been this excited about an episode of Flop Culture in a very, very long time. No offence to my other guests, but when we talked about doing this episode and you said this, I was like, this is the best of my life, because I wanted to do this, but I hadn't found the right person. And then you volunteered and it was like everything fell into place.
Stars aligned.
Truly, yeah, truly.
Now, when you say that this is like your most excited podcast ever, is that even more so than Max Zanga's as well?
Oh God, I've done myself a hole here, haven't I?
You have. He's an ex-housemate of mine, so...
Okay, yeah, so we might start a little war here.
He also took my sister to the Debs, so...
Okay, Max, you're going to have to come back and try again, because I'd say maybe Leanne's going to wipe the floor with you.
Actually, we went a bit viral with that, because for their photo outside the house, I got behind them with like a baseball bat messing. And before I knew it, it was on Unilad, and I was like, oh, here we go. So we have a nice kind of friendly rivalry going on, I think. But I want, you talked about Love is Blind on that, is that right?
Oh, it was the other one. Are You the One?
Are You the One?
They're all the one. It's the same at this point. Like, people trying to date each other, it's on telly.
I'm slowly getting dragged into Love is Blind. That's why I brought it up.
Are you watching this current season, season 4?
All I know is Kwame is doing his thing. So I don't know whereabouts that is. My girlfriend has it on in the background. I'm kind of not watching it, like inverted commas. But yeah, I'm finding myself getting asking questions and stuff. Like, you know,
always the way, isn't it? We're not here to talk about Love is Blind. We are here to talk about a film franchise. What did you pick for your flop?
So my flop, as I'm a bit of a movie buff, I decided to go with something that is a little bit out there. And, you know, as a connoisseur of films, I think it's a responsibility of mine to go with something that's really led the way in terms of like film culture and stuff like that. So today, the movie I'll be talking about, my flop is Sharknado.
Incredible. I'm not sure what your first memory of this movie is. Obviously, I'd heard of it before, but I'd just never watched it. Like, I never got around to it. Like, it was one of those ones, I lived with a load of lads in college and we went through the thing of like, there's a day where you watch all of the Saws. Most of us did arts as well. That's why we were able to watch movies all day, because we just didn't go to our lectures. Or we didn't have any lectures. But one of the days we watched like all of the Saws, and then one of the days we watched all of the Human Centipedes. I don't know how we didn't get around to this and like this franchise. But oh my God, I'm so glad I got to watch it now for this podcast. What is your first memory of it? Do you remember when you first watched it?
Yeah, so my first memory was myself and... Actually, no, I remember when it was originally coming out and going, that looks absolutely dreadful. I will never watch that in my entire life. Like, that's absolutely something I wasn't going to hear. As I actually do see myself as someone who is into movies. But like one night, myself and all my friends, we're having a bit of a like house session, and we're looking for something to do. And we're like, here, we're trying a movie or whatever. And like we're all half cut at this stage, and we're like, Sharknado just gloriously came onto the screen, and we said, that's the one. And we said, all right, let's watch this. And so we watched it, and my life has never been the same since, to be honest.
For anyone who's unfamiliar and maybe isn't the best in terms of comprehension, you know, hearing titles and, you know, understanding what a movie might be about, and they've heard this and they're like, still don't really get it. Sure. What is Sharknado about?
So Sharknado, you might need to give me a minute to explain this. So Sharknado is essentially when I'm trying to think of what the word for a group of sharks are. We might be able
The collective noun.
A collective noun. I know it's like a murder of crows.
He's on
and stuff
it.
Like that.
He's on it, girls.
When a collective of sharks are picked up at sea by a tornado and flung about cities, in a manner that brings about both comedy. A shiver of sharks are picked up. Now, multiple shivers of sharks, like a whole raft of shivers of sharks, are collected by this tornado against their will. These sharks are just trying to do their thing. Like, I don't think they're trying to be violent or anything.
But also, in defence of the sharks, I'd be a bit violent too if I was just milling about, absolutely, having a good time with my friends.
Imagine getting picked up by the wind and thrown into a city that you don't know. Like, do you know what I mean? They could be furious.
And then everyone's mad at you.
100%. What did you, like, I'm just doing my thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've always been this way. So, so there's now 6 movies of this franchise, and each one takes place in a different, I suppose, city or area of the United States. Actually, it comes to Europe as well at some point.
I love that.
It actually goes to space as well. So this franchise is something that I think everyone needs to just sit down for a day and say, I'm going to waste an entire day of my life and watch Sharknado.
It's just like, it's everything I could have wanted from this film. As you said, I think the first one is set in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it was like first aired on the Sci-Fi Channel. This is 2013. You've got Tara Reid in it, Ian Ziering, John Hurd. It ended up kind of doing so well, I think, from the TV reception that it got a midnight screening in the States, and it earned like 200K, did very well, and it's gotten this cult following then. And as you said, it has these other sequels. There's Sharknado 2, the second one, which I watched, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, which I watched, Sharknado The Fourth Awakens, which I have yet to watch, but I'm going to add it to my list, Sharknado 5, Global Swarming, and the last Sharknado, It's About Time. Like, you have to give it to them when it comes to even, before we even get to the content of the films, like, the wordplay here, chef's kiss.
It's 10 out of 10.
It's,
it really is.
Just so good. Like, it's...
oh, hell no.
Sharknado
2, the second one.
The second one, like it's straight to the point. And I'm going to be honest, I actually think I prefer the second Sharknado to the first one.
Oh, yeah, like in terms of ridiculousness and like when it goes over to New York.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because do you think there's an element of the first one that they are like kind of taking it seriously? So, like, okay, so we've obviously explained, like, so the tornado takes up these sharks in the middle of the ocean. There's some lads on a boat. I'm not really sure what's going on there. Some kind of illegal arms deal or like something. Or they're like catching the sharks, whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that's why they were probably pissed off. I think they're pissed off about that.
That's fair,
which, again, fair enough, I would say. They're spat out into this city and your man owns the bar, who was married to Tara Reid, but now they're not together anymore.
That's
and they
right.
have children. And they have to go save their children. He's like a really good surfer.
Yeah. I think we're absolutely zipping through this.
Sorry.
Let's take a step back here because this film deserves...
I'm too excited.
This film deserves its moments.
Okay, talk to me about the characters beyond the sharks and the tornado.
So we open the film with Finn. You're right. He's a divorcee from April, who we meet later in the movie. He runs a bar with alongside another young woman and another friend. The young woman's name is Nova, and they kind of are the ones that will be doing the main fighting of the sharks. But, you know, Finn is a real, and Finn is played by Ian Ziering, but Finn is a real kind of like dark and solemn character. You know, he always has a gut sense, a good feeling of like something bad is going to happen. Like, and you know, he's one of them, like, it's a little too quiet type of people. Mm. So he's like seeing the storm coming in. He just knows, like, for whatever reason, I think him and the sharks have this kind of like connection mentally. He just knows that sharks are coming in this tornado. So he goes out and he's like, everyone get in. Like, you know, get out to sea. Sharks are coming. And one of his friends come out with him and are like trying to drag people in off, like his friend's on a jet ski. And his friend is like, yeah, we got everyone in. And he's just kind of sitting there being like celebrating that everyone is safe. And then he absolutely gets taken out of it by the shark. I'm like, what were you waiting for? Everyone is safe. Like, why are you sitting there waiting for kind of thing?
I will say the reflexes in this movie leave a lot to be desired by some of the people.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It's just like, get moving. Like, what are we chilling here for? There's imminent threat. Like,
one thing that myself and my friends couldn't get over was the girl in the film that tags along with Finn. Nova, she has like this like large scar on her leg. And he's like, oh, did the sharks get you when you were younger? Blah, 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 blah. And she's talking about like, she's like, no, my parents ran a shark farm.
We
we paused it at that moment. We were all looking at each other like, could you imagine how stressful that would be? Could you imagine sitting in school thinking, my parents are working with sharks right now? Like, do you know what I mean? This shark that like nearly tore half my leg off is like probably like being fed by my mom at some tank or whatever. So anyways, these are moments that we had in the film that we were like, this must have been so stressful for her. So anyways, the sharks come in and like on this in this tornado or sharknado, if you will, and start like crashing.
Give it a scientific name, please.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So they're like attacking the people on the beach, they're destroying the bar, so everyone gets into their cars and they start driving off. So Finn is like, I need to go rescue my family. You know, what any, you know, good person would do.
Yeah.
So he's like driving in, but he's divorced from this family and he's kind of a little bit estranged from the son, and he has Nova with him, and him and Nova seem to have a bit of a thing.
Nova wants to get up on him, I
absolutely,
think.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it's reciprocated.
Yeah, no.
It's a bit, he's like, I'm your mentor and I run the bar and you have some
I'm gonna teach you
daddy
to kill
shark issues. I don't know.
Daddy
you
shark.
Like it.
Absolutely, like 100%. She's all over him and it's really weird. But anyways, so to get back to the person that he's divorced house, and it's Tara Reid, who plays April. And fun fact with Tara Reid, she's actually like best friends with Jedward.
Yeah, they're like such good friends after Big Brother. She's very strange on social media, but a humorous follow,
absolutely.
I would say.
I would absolutely love to go for a pint with her.
Given it loads in this franchise. She's never been more committed in her life. She
believes that this is actually a serious movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's playing like a serious role. And,
like, Meryl Streep could learn a thing or two. That's all I'll say on that.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
should have been Oscar nominated. So they get to this house and like, for some reason, like, despite there being like sharks being flung at the house, Abel decides to still be like really passive aggressive with Finn, even though he's like trying to save them. And basically like unnecessarily is being mean to him. But Finn's son is there as well. And then for some reason, Finn's son and Nova start hitting it off. And like,
yeah, sorry, that
thing,
is nuts.
So weird.
So like, he's away at pilot school. So he rescues April and the daughter in the house.
Right.
And April's with a new fella who immediately gets eaten by sharks.
Oh,
so she's like, immediately clears the way for them to get back together.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Ideal.
That's it. With no emotional response.
No, not like not even.
The love of my life has just been eaten. Yeah. And, you know, I seem to be totally fine with that.
Well, that's life. Yeah. But the son is like in pilot school. So then they're like, right, we need to go rescue him. And like, it then immediately starts getting off with Nova. And then it's like, Nova, you were trying to get up on his dad 20 minutes ago, I'd say.
So weird.
Maybe an hour. I'm not really sure the logistics of the traffic and everything, how long it took you to get places. But like, you were on it. Like,
she was so down. And now she just switched it up. So yeah, so it was that's weird in and of itself. So one thing that I love about this movie is that like, 1 minute they're up to their waist in water and the next minute they're completely bone dry and they're just walking around as if it's normal. Like, there is no continuity to like, so like they might be like down a hill and it's like, you know, no water or anything. They're able to like walk around. It might be up to their ankles. And then they run up a hill and it's up to their waist. And you're like, what? Physics just completely goes out the window.
Gravity,
with this movie.
Like, no.
And that's
like,
it. I think you need to be ready for that. If you're going to sit down and indulge in the Sharknado franchise, you just need to kind of switch off from the rest of the world for
a couple
minutes.
To absolutely suspend like a little bit of like disbelief, whatever the expression is, because otherwise you won't enjoy it. The one thing I will say about the first one is like, there's a part of me that feels like there was something there in terms of like a good action movie.
Right.
And like, even I feel like they could have made the Sharknado thing work, but there was just too many other elements. And I don't know if it's like, if they'd had a bigger budget, because like, one of my notes is the shark cameras look like they're filmed on those cameras you give children.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know, like those VTech
cameras? It looks like it was filmed on a toaster.
Like, it's crazy. Because you get this like normal shot of them all walking around and then it's the shark and it's like, bah, bah, bah. I don't need to make shark noises, but like, it looks like a drawing or something.
Oh,
it's just
mad. It's like a stick shark.
Yeah, like there's a part of me that just thinks maybe if they'd had loads and loads of money, could they? I'm not saying it would have been Oscar winning or like prestige movie by any means.
Yeah.
But I do think it wouldn't have become the spoofy joy that it is. But then maybe that's maybe we don't need that then.
Maybe that's
we
the magic of it. Maybe that's you know why it's become such a success.
Yeah,
I guess. But yeah, I suppose. So after they've rescued April and the son, who is also a pilot, they decide, okay, we need to be the ones to take down these Sharknadoes. Now there's multiple Sharknadoes at this point.
Yeah.
You know, other tornadoes have formed and picked up other shivers and are coming on land and stuff like that. So
it's a nightmare, really. Like,
so, of course, genius. Let's go up in a helicopter with a bomb and throw a bomb into the tornado.
Yeah.
Right? So they decide to go up in this. So Nova, the son, and Finn go up. And of course, you know, sharks start attacking the helicopter, you know, start hitting off the thing and blah, 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 blah. And they drop one of the bombs into one of the tornadoes and it blows up and it's great. And it goes away.
Everybody's dead.
So they're like, let's go over to
the second. All the sharks are dead. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. So they go over to the second one then. But what happens? Nova falls out of the helicopter.
Nightmare.
Boom. Gets eaten midair by a shark. And I was like, this is another moment where we had to pause and go, like, this is really like a self-fulfilling prophecy coming about. Like, all, you know, all those negative vibrations that she was putting out into the world, stressing about her parents, working on a shark farm, et cetera, et cetera.
That's months of therapy undone there, I will
absolutely,
say.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, don't worry about the sharks. The sharks can't hurt you. No, these sharks absolutely can. You know, because they can survive out for hours. So she gets eaten midair by a shark. And the son who's driving this helicopter is heartbroken. Like, he only met this woman. And he's like sobbing, crying.
Devastated,
which is great acting. So Finn is like, we gotta get the last one. So they drive over, and like, Finn, fair play to him, because Ian Ziering playing 6 movies of this franchise has done a madness in my opinion. So
he's another one who is fully committed. Like, the seriousness absolutely. With which he adopts in the later movies, which we'll talk about, is just chef's kiss. It's so good,
amazing. So basically they like land on the ground after blowing up all these tornadoes and stuff like that, and it's great, but they're all kind of sad that Nova was eaten. But there's one last shark. There's one last shark that has been able to be managed to be flying around for this long, right?
Yeah.
And Finn spots a chainsaw on the ground. He's like, I'm going to get this one. And it's flying right towards him. So he decides to run and like jump into its mouth with the chainsaw. And like, obviously the shark eats him. Do you know what I mean?
Think,
and,
yeah.
Lands on the ground and all you hear is, this shark gets ripped open, right? And Finn rolls out and he's like, I'm alive. And then he like goes back into the shark. And we're like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, that's so weird. Why would he go back into the shark? Who did he pull out? Nova.
Incredible. Incorrect. That cinema.
Like, that is amazing. That's like Martin Scorsese stuff.
And then Tara Reid sees him and is like, I'm my hero, and just starts lobbing on with him, despite the fact he is covered in blood, shark intestines.
Shark stomach acid is the
oh, God.
They're like,
just...
they're going at it. Like, it's so odd. And then the son and Nova are saying,
and then son and Nova are getting off then as well. It's like,
so weird.
There are corpses across Los Angeles. Thousands of people have died.
Hundreds of sharks. The smell, like, must have been awful.
You can ride later. Like, just, the city cleanup job that needs to be done now.
But, you know, that's the whole message in the movie. Family. That's what
not
it's all
for
about.
The sharks. Those sharks families are getting torn apart.
All those families are torn apart. Like, do you know what I mean? Absolutely. Oh. So, yeah, so that's the first Sharknado. An
that
absolute
is, yeah.
roller coaster or tornado of a movie.
Here's what Tara Reid said of the film when it was released. It is silly, and there's only a certain amount of barriers you could go into. You can't take it so seriously when it's absolutely the sharks flying in the sky. It's so out there that it's actually really funny. And then there were some details about the fact that obviously they couldn't use real sharks, so like, it's all shot on green screen. But again, I think that's a testament to how well it was acted.
Yeah.
The fear of the sharks, even though they weren't there, even though they weren't real.
It was, yeah, that fear was
James Cameron
palpable.
Found rotting. Like, he did, could never, could honestly never with those blue freaks.
Respond, yeah,
I look forward to your text. Yeah. I look forward to your reply.
Absolutely.
Oh.
So yeah, so like, but from that moment, myself and my friends looked at each other, like deep into each other's eyes, and said, you know what? Let's go again. Let's watch another Sharknado. So Sharknado 2 was immediately like put on, like, yeah. I think via YouTube. And that, again, you know, the whole premise of the movie is about family. Do you know what I mean? It's about being there for your loved ones. So basically, Finn in this one needs to travel to New York to meet up with his sister. And for some reason, kind of like me and Daffy in a way, or Max Sanga, you know, his best friend basically married his sister.
Right.
And so they're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
that's actually very... a lot of parallels.
This
there,
is yeah. a little bit of a full circle moment. So yeah. I think me and Max need to go start fighting sharks.
Maybe.
Or something. But anyways. Yeah, to get over
it. See you down in Dunleary. I'm just going to see you and Max just punching sharks. Now,
that's it. What do you think happened to fungi? That's, no, too far. Way too far. I love fungi and I'm actually really upset that.
Also, flap culture, do not. We dispute any statements of, related to fungi. Carry on.
Yeah, anyways.
Sharknado 2.
So Sharknado 2. He's flying over to New York with April. They've managed to rekindle their marriage. Everything has gone great. But mid-flight, a Sharknado comes out of nowhere and starts like attacking the plane, right? Yeah. And somehow both of the pilots end up dead by sharks coming in through the cockpit window.
Or
they must have come in through.
They were coming in everywhere. They were coming in thick and fast.
Everywhere. They were like breaking the doors. It was mad, right? So anyways, Finn decides, I'm going to go and land this plane. Like someone needs to tell me from ground control how to land it, and I'll be able to land it, and I will further my status as a national hero. Somehow. But while he's gone and landing the plane, April's left in her seat and a shark sees her and like is like making his way to her. Like doesn't care about anyone else, is like fighting past other people, like pushing past them and everything like that. And April's like trying to stab him with it like a, I don't know, like an airplane fork or something. And basically the shark takes her hand off. Which was a really traumatic moment for April, I think. Because later in the movie she says, the shark recognized me. Like why? Like it was pushing past other people and stuff like that. So anyways, they land in New York. April needs to go to the hospital. Finn goes and meets with some of his family who are at a baseball game, which is his sister's son and the husband. And it's real like, you know, again, passive aggressive between them. They're not really getting on. Mm. But he's trying to get them out of a baseball game. And some of the stories in this baseball game are so ridiculous. Like there's a guy who used to play for the baseball team and he's like working at a hot dog stand or something. And basically tells his whole life story for 4 minutes.
Scene, I was like, what have I just watched?
Why the hell? He's like, yeah, I'm Barry the Batter and I used to bat him out of the park and that one time my dad came to watch and I couldn't bat, you know, and it was really bad and now this is really sad. My life has turned to shit since and blah, blah, blah. And later in the movie, he's actually able to get some sort of massive baseball bat and knock a shark out of the park. And that for him is like a moment of reconciliation of his father not watching him hit a home run or something like that. It's crazy.
There you go. Family. It all comes back.
It actually does all come back to family when you think about it. And then on the other parallel, his sister is going to visit I don't know what the island is that has the Statue of Liberty on it.
Ellis Island,
yeah. And they're like, okay, cool. They like start getting calls from Finn and Finn is like, you need to get into the city right now. Like there's a Sharknado coming. And of course they start freaking out and it's the Finn's sister, her daughter, and then two of her friends. So they get off the island, they manage to get back to the mainland. But then the sharks are coming in and they're like, each one of the friends, you know, who was running so slowly and had such an opportunity to get away, but decided not to. But one of the sharks knocked the head off the Statue of Liberty and hit it so hard that it flew over to the mainland. And like they're trying to run away from this head of Statue of Liberty that's rolling down the road after them. They manage to stop a garbage truck and pull the people out GTA style and get into the truck. And the guys are like, oh, what's going on? And then all of a sudden they get crushed by a fucking rolling Statue of Liberty head.
Such a good scene.
Amazing scene.
Oh, like, it's so just, good.
Like, it's such great cinema. I'm trying to think about like, so then, yeah, they're like driving off to go meet them at the park and stuff like that. And they all meet up together and it's great. And they're like, okay, we need to get a bomb. So we need to go and get like materials and stuff like that. But first they need to stop at somewhere safe before they can go to the hardware store or something. Mm. So there's this taxi driver that's been taking them around and stuff like that. And he's really, really nice. But unfortunately he gets fucked up as well. Like it's awful. Because he's like...
Yeah, his scene is so sad.
It's so sad.
They're like, trying to like kind of swing from the car, isn't it? And he just like is a little bit too close to the water and the shark's like... Dump!
Comes out. Absolutely annihilates this guy. But anyways, one of the scenes is they need to go to Vinny's Pizza, right?
Yes.
And so Vinny's is like, it's in New York. It's very clearly a very like Italian-American pizzeria. You know, a small Italian girl's on the counter. She's like, oh, where's like Vinny? You know, so I'll go get Vinny.
He's like a friend of Finn's. Yeah, is he, or they know each other?
They need to get like materials from him and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah.
So like in this Italian-American restaurant, they call out Vinny, who is like a very large African-American man. It's like clearly not Italian. It's like, yo, what you want, motherfuckers? Like, this is supposed to be Vinny. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So anyways, Vinny comes out and he's like, yeah, let me help y'all motherfuckers. And he's like giving them materials and stuff like that. So again, same again, they go up, they get bombs. Some of the Sharknados form into a Supernado. I think that's a new concept as well. And basically they blow it up and they're all heroes again. And Finn is like, I don't know whether it's this one or the second one. Finn gets like a golden chainsaw as like a gift. I think it's actually the third one.
It's the start of the next one, yeah.
It's the start of the next
one. From the president.
So yeah, so Finn has like twice now established himself as this like national hero that's like going around killing sharks, but also reunifying his family like on the one section at a time.
Yeah.
He was in the first one, he was divorced. He's now remarried. In the second one, he was estranged from his sister and the husband and they got along great.
They're friends, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the good things is even if a family member or a loved one or a friend gets eaten, they're still alive somehow and they just need to be chopped out of the shark. And it's all good.
Which is a very positive message, isn't it? Like for anyone fearing death, just don't, because you might not be
actually going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's actually
going to live forever.
Just befriend a red-headed chainsaw wielding man, and you never know, you might be fine.
Yeah.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The third one.
Sharknado.
So from the second one, you can tell they're like actively leaning into the fact that it's like a bit of a meme.
Yeah,
like
this is a mistake. Yeah.
Even the people who are in it. So like Paris Hilton is a cameo. Yeah. Kurt Angle.
Are amazing. Mark Cuban.
Yes.
Yeah,
Kelly Osbourne is one of the flight attendants.
Yeah.
It's the guy who plays the brother-in-law is the front man for Sugar Ray, if that means anything to anyone. Vivica Fox is like the Finn's like high school sweetheart or like college ex-girlfriend, and she wants to get back together with him, and he's like, oh, whatever. But then
they kiss as well in the second movie, which is weird because his wife is in a hospital after having
her hand eaten off.
You know what I mean? Yeah. April's arc though was insane as well.
Does she get it? It's a hook that she gets pulled on, isn't it? Or some kind of like
chainsaw installed, and eventually she becomes like this like cyborg that's designed to hunt sharks. Yeah.
I can't. I'm telling you. Meryl couldn't do it.
Absolutely not.
The third one then, this is Oh Hell No, and you mentioned Jedward at this point, themselves and Tara had become very good friends.
Absolutely.
So they do the theme song for this movie, which is Oh Hell No as well, and they also had a brief cameo on the film. You've Neo, you've Jackie Collins.
Yep.
They had recast the daughter at this point as well, and like her friend in it is, I don't know if you grew up watching Beauty Gurus on YouTube, but she was like one of the OG ones, Juicy Star 07, if that means anything to anyone. I remember seeing her and being like, I thought blood was going to come out of my eyes. I was like, I don't know what I'm seeing. What happens in the third one? Where are they? What are they doing?
So Finn is in DC because he's meant to get this like, commendation from the president or whatever, who is Mark Cuban. And Secret Service are like coming to collect them, and like the film actually starts with him running through the streets of DC, and you can see that a storm is looming, and he just knows. Do you know what I mean? Again, it's like I get this sense, I get this feeling, I know this is going to happen. I need to go and warn the president. So he runs in, he actually runs into the White House, like runs in as if like there's no security, like he runs through the gates up to the White House, A1, do you know what I mean? I'm in the back door kind of thing.
Not and even a ring doorbell.
Like the chief of staff opens the door for him. Like, what's a crack? Oh, yeah, yeah, you're meant to be here. That's great.
Normal.
So he lets him in or whatever, and he's like, we need to get you out of those clothes. So he puts him into like a tuxedo and stuff like that. President Mark Cuban comes in. He's like, we're going to give you a commendation for killing tons of sharks. So he gets his like golden chainsaw, which is amazing. And what happens then? He's like, after like the whole ceremony and stuff like that, Finn is like, Mr. President, can we have a word? Takes the president aside. He's like, yo, there's going to be like, sorry, I know he doesn't say yo, but... You know, he's like, it's implied. He says something along the lines of, Mr. President, these sharks are going to come in, they're going to tear up the place. So we need to like, we need to batten down the hatches kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So the president's like, I got you, don't worry. But it's too late because the sharks are already here. And they start attacking the White House, which is an excellent scene.
It's a nightmare, honestly.
You know, so in that moment, they then need to go to the armory in the White House and get weapons. Mm-hmm. But the armory is blocked off by a shark. Shock horror. I hate when that happens. Yeah, it's not like he hasn't been able to kill tons of these already. So what's he do? He starts getting like coats of arms off the wall and stuff like that, like swords and stuff.
This sequence is so fucking good. Like this is like what I want from all my action movies. Just a nonsense, violence, incredible.
Absolutely. Like very poor dialogue.
Incredibly poor dialogue. And that's, I don't want them talking. You know what I mean? I want them like bashing things heads in.
That's
absolutely
it. There's no like critical thinking or question or anything. It's like we don't need to find out where these sharks are coming from. We just need to get swords and weapons and kill them. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Or like we don't need to challenge climate change or anything like that. It's like bringing in these super tornadoes that are able to pick up shivers of sharks. So anyways, they manage to get weapons and stuff like that. So Finn throws a sword through a shark. Like, the arm on this guy is absolutely incredible. So he then, they manage to get weapons, and then there's this big montage of Finn and Mark Cuban going through and like killing sharks with like AK-47s.
So good. It's incredible.
And they're doing like, you know, mad sliding on knees, shooting guns and stuff like that. Basically, because it's kind of slipped me at the moment, but Mark Cuban and Finn need to get to space to blow up Sharknados from space. And there's somehow sharks up in space with them. And it's an absolute mess, to be honest.
It's one of the absolute major inconveniences. Because April at this point is pregnant as well. They are like very happy restarting the family again, and she's bringing the recast daughter, like she's brought her to a theme park for her birthday.
That's right, yeah.
But then sharks also start coming there, which ends up being a bit of a nightmare, I think,
as well. Yeah. Oh, no, it's like, to be honest, I just think Finn should get a break. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he's had a lot on.
At this point, it's three Sharknados. Do you know what I mean? And one Sharknado is enough for any person, I think. But three. Do you know what I mean? And not to mention, you're like, now I actually, to be honest with you, I need to go through the rest of the kind of final, the back three again. But like, again, there's other really cool things in it as well. You mentioned the cameos. One of my favourite cameos is Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes, Frankie Muniz is in it. Oh, sorry, we didn't even mention this, like that Nova is back in the third one.
Nova's back in the third one.
But she's a professional like shark fighter now with Malcolm in the Middle, Frankie Muniz, which... Okay, like...
Somehow. So, I think that is a good Nova arc, if that makes sense, because, you know, from her initial fear of sharks and, you know, sharks being ever-present in her life to being actually faced with that fear of being eaten by a shark, and it happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To, you know, a lot of people just lie down and say, I'm not going to fight a shark again. You know, I'm not going to do this. Like, fuck this. But she says, no, I'm going to fight a shark again. I'm going to actually form a duo with Malcolm in the Middle, and I'm going to go fight sharks.
I mean, like, fair enough, I think.
Yeah.
Ian Ziering, he initially wasn't going to do it. He said he had a lot of reservations about the script, but I love this sentence. But he was motivated in part by the need to earn enough to qualify for Screen Actors Guild health insurance for his family. So that's the only reason why he did these movies, so he could get health insurance.
I mean,
what a legacy.
There are darker ulterior motives out there. I mean, again, full circle moment. It's all for family.
It is all for family, you know? Absolutely. So, yeah. Have you seen the the spin-off movies.
They're spin-off movies?
Yeah, so
oh,
there's...
Oh, no, now I'm going to be like, now I'm going to go down more
so,
rabbit holes.
So it was one kind of spin-off series, and then there's another Sharknado that I don't know if this is like separate to the canon movies, but right. There's Sharknado, Heart of Sharkness. Great title again. But then we have, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, but it's Lavalantula. So clearly that's something to do with the volcano exploding and its spiders.
Get the fuck out of here. There's not, I am arachnophobe number one on this planet. I fucking hate spiders.
And you're not, okay.
I can't, like...
So you're not going to be watching Two Lava, Two Lantula, I would assume?
My friends used to bully me by getting the DVD case of Eight-Legged Freaks and chase me around the road. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And I was terrified. He used to hold me down. He used to hold me down and like, look at it, Leon, look at it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, as a 8-year-old chubby boy that couldn't run very fast from spiders, that was difficult.
Not good. Not good. What would be your favourite moment from the movies that you have seen of the Sharknado franchise?
So, I have like the non-shark one is definitely...
Yeah, you can have a non-shark one and a shark one.
The non-shark related one is Cousin Vinny.
Okay.
Or like Vinny, when they go in and they're like, you know, we need to get this Italian guy out. And I'm in my mind, for some reason, because obviously I was half caught at this point as well, I was expecting like a Robert De Niro type character to come out. And just the fact that it was like, you know, 50 Cent coming out, I was like, oh my, it sideswiped me. I'm not going to lie. The rest of my friends couldn't really get why I was laughing so hard at that moment. But for me, that was like, you know, I thought it was brilliant writing.
Yeah.
My favorite shark moment is, okay, so I've got two. When Nova gets eaten, just because like, I was like, ha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you thought you were great. Or not that you thought you were great, but like you thought that this wasn't going to happen. And now, you know, I'm going to take that back because I don't want karma to come and get me because I know that I'd end up facing this spider at some point today. So I'm going to take that back. My favorite part is when your man, the ex-baseball player, like gets this, like it's not even a baseball bat. It's like a giant club, like this thing that would have been seen in like caveman ages and like takes the shark out. I mean like a shark, a full grown great white shark is flying at him and he hits it with a baseball bat and knocks it out of an arena. Like that for me is the best moment of, I think, the series.
So good.
Yeah.
I love, in the first one, like the initial bar scene where they're also dealing with this like alcoholic like customer who's like kind of a pervert and is like always getting onto Nova. He's played by
John Hurt.
By John Hurt, who's the dad in Home Alone.
Which is so, what a fall from grace.
Why was he in this movie? Like it's just, when I was going, do you know, you'd be going through the characters, whatever, and like people's IMDb's and stuff and trying to refresh your memory. I was like, I hope the paycheck was good for this because like, no, he's not in it for that long, but like, it's just.
Yeah,
no.
I think
and
it
not
is.
A nice, not really a nice character either. Not like not in the way the others are.
He's playing some weird pervo guy that I like now. He does actually save someone with like a bar stool.
Oh,
like,
I forgot that. Yeah, that was good.
I used to be able to handle one of these and like he hits a shark with a bar stool.
Yeah.
And saves someone and it's great. And he's like, you know, this is actually a really nice moment in my life. Maybe I should give up alcohol. And then boom, taken out by a shark.
Eaten by a shark.
You know, and that actually tends to be the way a lot of these stories end in Sharknado. They have an epiphany where they're like, maybe I should stop doing this or maybe I should do something better. Or this moment in my life has not been great. And I'm gonna be different from here on out. But at that moment of realization, shark comes and gets them. And I think that's a message for life. You know, you never really know when a shark is gonna come down and eat you. So do that thing that you're thinking about doing. Just go and do it.
Absolutely. Learn your lessons. 100%. Learn your lessons sooner. I think the second one is my favorite, just because, like, you know, the way they talk about Sex and the City and the fact that, like, New York is like the fifth character or whatever. I really feel like New York is the fifth character
Absolutely,
in this movie.
100%.
When the Statue of Liberty head falls on those people, incredible. That scene that I already mentioned where they're escaping from the taxi and they're like kind of, they've found a way to like swing over the water onto other cars. Great action sequence and the taxi driver dies. A whole initial plane sequence. Like, I really didn't think they were going to bite off April's hand. That was a gag.
From the jump.
Like, that was a gag.
100%. It was like, I really thought it was going to start differently. But you're really thrown into Sharknado 2 from the start.
There's no
messing.
It's like, sharks immediately. Like, there's no, like, when will the sharks come? The sharks are there. We're 60 seconds in. Yeah. They are there. They are, and they're hungry.
And the fact that they start off on a plane, you're like, no, well, there's no way that the sharks can come in now.
Yeah, you, but you think that, but
33,000. Yeah.
I loved, like, the real life news segments, like covering the Sharknado. I found that quite funny, I have to say, in the second and the third one.
The two weather people. Yes, and they're like, this Sharknado could become a super Sharknado. And like, they're giving it more kind of like a...
Like, they are taking magnitude. It seriously, but the news people are like, Sharknado.
Yeah, well done, folks. Well, like, is there any other, whatchamacallits, like made for film, or made for TV movies that you like?
Oh, that are of like this caliber bad?
Yeah. I suppose Scary Movie would be like...
Scary Movie, like The Room. The Room is just like...
Oh my God.
What a classic. Oh, hi, and he is making another movie at the minute that is about sharks. Hang on, I need to Google this so I have the information. Because I remember covering it recently and I'd just watched Sharknado for this podcast. Wait, hang on. It's called Big Shark.
Wait, you only watched it for the podcast? You didn't watch it for...
I watched
cultural value.
Well, I did watch it for cultural value as well, and I'm so glad I did. A 2023 American horror film written, directed, and produced by Tommy Wiseau, starring Wiseau, Isaiah Laborde, and Mark Valeriano. But it's about, I think it's Chicago, and it's like...
How the fuck are they going to get sharks into Chicago?
Wait, sorry, I have it. Okay. The official synopsis for the movie reads as follows. Three firefighters, Georgie, Tim and Patrick, must save New Orleans from a killer shark.
That's fair enough.
Is that near the water?
It's Louisiana, I think.
My American geography isn't great.
Yeah.
But as we've learned, it doesn't really matter because they can travel. Sharks can travel in space and in air now.
Like, is there a helmet on one of them at one point?
Him and on one of the sharks.
I think. Do I remember seeing that?
I'd believe it. Honestly,
like, he manages to like break into like some sort of spacesuit, like I don't know, armory or something. Get a helmet on, so it's able to breathe air. All in all, the Sharknado series. If you're looking for like just like slapstick comedy, like where it's like it's so ridiculous,
so bad it's kind of funny. Yeah,
so bad that's good. This is you know if you're feeling sick and you need to take a day off. Watch that movie. I guarantee it'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
100%.
And it's kind of, it's brought back sharksploitation as a film subgenre. So there you go.
Sharksploitation.
Yeah. It's something that I was not familiar with.
I was never really into sharks that much, but like I've kind of like gotten into them a little bit more.
Yeah. Were you like a Jaws fan or any of those?
Yeah, I think I'd watch Jaws originally, like, you know, we're going to need a bigger boat and stuff like that. Like I'd still kind of quote that to this day. But not as much as Sharknado.
Yeah.
I've watched Piranha as well. And Piranha is kind of similar. I think, again, it's like, I suppose the same concept. It's just a piranha. Like, I'm not going to...
You could swap really any animal for a shark and it would still be very terrifying if there was loads of them in a tornado. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, horse tornado, that's scary. Like,
are we ready for clip-clopping
everywhere? No.
Clip-clopping.
Do you know, like, horses are huge and they have such big muscles.
Horses are terrifying. I think... I'm trying to think of what would be the scariest.
It'd probably be spiders for you. I don't know. The more that I think about horses, the more I'm a bit freaked. Snakes wouldn't be great either. Snakes on a plane. I've actually never seen snakes on a plane.
Snakes on a plane is quite funny.
Okay.
Yeah, no, like Samuel L. Jackson. That's actually a little bit more serious.
But that's what I mean. Like, there's very few films that are like this, that are like, with the exception of the first one, even though I still think that's a bit winking, the rest of them are purely like fun for fun's sake.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to win any awards. We're here for a laugh. Okay. Yeah. We know this isn't realistic, but look, it's a day out for all of us, isn't it?
100%. Absolutely. But yeah, I loved the Snakes on a Plane as well. Like, I thought that, because that movie's actually possible, I suppose. When you deep it.
I don't want to think about that. I cannot think about snakes in my overhead luggage.
Are snakes your thing?
No, actually, do you know what my thing is? Bees. I hate bees. Bees obviously serve such a purpose for the environment and I don't want any bad to come of them, but they need to stay the fuck away from me because the buzz freaks me out.
Yeah,
and the fact they can sting people and I don't care, it's to protect themselves. So bee NATO wouldn't be good for me at all.
No, that'd be quite
bees
bad.
On a plane, terrifying. Do you know what it was bees also? Do you know what the scene in My Girl where he rolls into the wasps?
Oh, right, yeah. Like,
or they're bees, I don't know, whatever. Whatever the fuck, anything flying with a stinger.
Yeah.
Bad.
Now, I'm not going to say that like this is the kind of my arc into like being a serial killer, but like wasps, like I will fuck up a wasp if I see it.
Oh, like, no, wasp.
If there's a wasp in my house, I'm going for it.
Done, yeah.
I will go out of my way to kill that wasp.
You're not getting any sugar water. Fuck off.
Yeah, I close the windows. I'm like, yeah, now you're in here with me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Bees,
find me man to man.
That's it. So that I suppose would be the extent of my Sharknado experience. I'm definitely going to watch 4, 5, and 6 now. And I don't know, maybe come back in for part 2.
I was just about to say, absolute open invitation. I am going to watch 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
I'm going to love to have you back at some point. And I might watch Snakes on a Plane if you want to come back to Snakes on a Plane. I'd be very happy for that.
Oh, has no one done Snakes on a Plane?
No one's done Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane isn't necessarily a flop because that's a fucking deadly movie.
Did it make money though? See, I have loose parameters for the word flop. So if it lost money, then it counts. Adam's going to check. So, okay. If it lasts money, we can do it. It's absolutely fine. While Adam's checking that, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about yourself and where people can find you and the great work you're doing with Black and Irish. If people want to find out more about that.
Sure. So, other than, you know, being a connoisseur of shark movies, I also run Black and Irish. So Black and Irish is, I suppose, a civic organisation that's working across different sectors in Ireland to improve the quality of life for black and mixed race people. So we work in the areas of like education, business, politics, community, media and entertainment. So across all 6 of those areas, we've got different projects going on, different strategic partnerships. So for example, in education, we go into schools and we give talks on, you know, what it's like growing up as a black and mixed race person in Ireland. We also give, I suppose, information on like how racism can present itself in schools and stuff like that. We do like a lot of workshops with teachers. You know, so that's just an example of what we do. If people want to find me through Black and Irish, they can just go to the Black and Irish Instagram. That's where we like share stories of black and mixed race people. We also highlight some of the work that we're doing there. So you'll be able to see what we're doing in terms of education or business or whatever. Another thing that we do is we run the Black and Irish Gala Awards at the end of the year. So that's where we, you know, get together to recognise and celebrate different black and mixed race people from across Ireland for a number of different reasons. So Business of the Year, we have a couple of music categories, Educator of the Year. And that we've only been running that for 2 years, but it's now going to be powered by RTE. So it's now the big awards powered by RTE, and we're really excited for that because I think what that's going to do is extend the incredible work that black and mixed race people are doing across Ireland to all areas of Ireland, because we at times we're struggling to get down to the likes of Cork and Limerick and you know, even up to the likes of Donegal and stuff like that. So that's what we're about, you know, highlighting some of the successes that are within the black community in Ireland, making sure that any of the challenges that are faced by the black community in Ireland are being slowly but surely challenged. And that's my stomach growling, my apologies. And I'm
hungry
not
work.
I'm not doing this take again. Keep it in. That's it. And yeah, and like you know, we want to make sure that whatever it is that the black community are facing is being challenged. We have a pretty bad kind of rise of the far right, you can see at the moment in Ireland. So that's one of the kind of key things that we're working on in terms of community and stuff like that. So that's where you can find me there. If you also want to find me on my personals, just Leon Diop, I suppose I'm actually going to pronounce my name properly. It's Leon Diop. I had a whole TikTok on that as well, but
you're very funny on TikTok with your dogs as well.
A couple of people might know me as the owner of Oreo. Oreo is the star of the show. I actually posted the other day saying, oh, thanks so much for 60,000 followers, and one of my mates wrote to me going, they're not your followers, they're Oreo's followers. And I've never been more humbled in my entire life. I actually realised, you know, yeah, they're not here for me, because any of the other videos I'm not doing half as well. So went to the vet to the day with me dog Oreo and Rollo as well. Rollo's fine though.
Rollo's just along for the ride.
Rollo is actually kind of like my sister's keeper in a way,
right?
Because we had Oreo first, in a less severe, less emotionally traumatic way. Oreo, we had Oreo first, and Oreo was getting lonely at times. So we were like,
aww,
let's get her a companion. So we got her Rollo, who was her sister.
Oh, cute.
And Oreo hated her at the start. Absolutely hated her. She was like, why the fuck am I having to share my space with another bitch? that's the word for female dog. Why am I having to share my space with another dog? Now they're actually inseparable. Now they're best mates, which is really, really cute.
Yeah, they're so cute.
But Oreo is the one that will just like give out about everything. She's like, she can suffer with like separation anxiety at times. Mm-hmm. So she's like, let me in, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, I was bringing her in the boot of the car to the vets, and she just let off. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to record this, and I'm going to profit off of this. I was like, I'm going to use you. I thought it was gas.
That she just lets off at me
whenever she's in the boot of the car. So I'm like, right, that I'm going to show people what I have to put up with. I was going to put a very different caption on it, you know, with her being like really expletive, but then I was like, nah. Let me make this TikTok friendly. So yeah. So anyways,
I'll link that video below for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's just it'll brighten up your day for sure. And I hope this episode brightens up people's days. And go watch Sharknado if you haven't, and get some shark joy into your life. Leanne Jopp, it's been a pleasure. I cannot wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining
me on Pop Culture.
Woo! Thanks.
Thanks so much again to Leon for joining me. I can't wait to have him back on the sofa for another episode at some point. I will leave all of his links below if you want to go follow him and find out more about the work the Black and Irish are doing. We're actually going to leave it there for this episode. I want to end season 2 on a positive note, so no Top of the Flops this week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, this season, whether you've dipped in and out. I appreciate you all so much. If you could please continue to rate the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you do, I'll recommend a bop or a flop to you. All you have to do is leave your nickname in the review. Even if you do it amongst this break, I will be back refreshed for season 3 and I will have fresh out of the oven bops for you. So leave those reviews, leave your nicknames, and you will get a shout out at the end of season 3's episodes. You can also leave a 5-star review on Spotify. And yeah, as I mentioned, this is the last episode of season 2. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much to every single one of my guests for joining me and indulging me and talking about the wildest of things. This episode is probably the perfect example. It's just been great and I can't wait to come back again for season 3. Watch this space on that. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by buying me a coffee at ko-fi.com/FanulaJ. That's coffee.com/FanulaJ with a hyphen between co and fee. It's very hard to explain. Orally, if you will. I will leave the link below if none of that made sense. We will be back with regular episodes very soon, but in the meantime, the final episode of our unofficial Succession recap podcast, Suckheads, drops next week after the finale. So be sure to join myself and Owen Keane for the full debrief. I'm not ready, girls. I'm not ready. This podcast has been edited by Adam Shanahan, artwork by the lovely Brian Lambert. Until next season, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.